This is the January 12th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves five properties. The first is case number 156 for property ID 966-21100. The second is case number 157 for property ID 966-21102. The third is case number 158 for property ID 966-21103. The fourth is case number 159 for property ID 966-21116. And the last one is case number 160 for property ID 966-21129. All five of those properties are owned by Hannah Kia Real Property LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Mary Howells and Ben Ransonet present over video chat for the assessor's office. And we have Wayne Tenenbaum present over the phone as the representative for the appellant. So all of you that'll be speaking today, go ahead and raise your right hands. We'll get you sworn in. And this will be for the full day.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in these hearings today will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know again, Wayne, that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, go ahead and tell us about this group of properties.
All right. This economic unit is a dealership. You can see on the cover page, it's definitely an inferior type dealership. It's very low clear height. It's construction design quality is pretty inferior. But I'm not sure that's the main issue of this property. It's five parcel economic unit, and we'll go over those parcels in a moment here. But this property, I noticed unless our values are incorrect, the property on page two went up in value from $1,814,403 to $3,242,544. So it went up from $82 a square foot rounded to $147 rounded a square foot in 1 year. I'm not sure how that's possible. I didn't know values were going up 70-80% or whatever it is approximately in 1 year. But the issue with this one, I think, has to do with the improvements, but also the land, because we have, for example, a cost value for the property that's even higher than last year's value ourselves at approximately $2,090,000 or $94.70. So we're even higher than the prior year value even. When we do our cost reports, we just do it typically, and whether it's higher or lower, that's what we end up with. So it is much lower, though, than the county's value this year. One thing to notice, though, is property on page number three was built in 1974. I think we were conservative in giving it effect year in 1996. And the property has 5.08 acres, and that's a big point of contention here, because you'll notice that on page three also that the improvement value by the county is only $653,474. So they do recognize the inferior nature and the older nature of the subject property. But that means that this major increase in value from the prior year must be a large percentage increase in land value. Our improvement value is, I believe, only about $100,000 or so less than the county's, which we'll get to. Let me just see here. Yeah, it's not a great deal less. I think it's about $100,000 less. So what that tells me is that this major increase from the prior year, meaning that property is worth about $1.8 million by the county the prior year, but that was the value set, and then now it's over $3.2 million. So there's a great deal of value, most of it in the land. And one thing to note is that we're talking about a five-acre piece of land with a building square feet of 22,080 square feet. In other words, that is too much land for that type of building to be optimal. In other words, there's, in a sense, excess land. There's additional land. And when it comes to especially dealerships, the size, the frontage, and visibility is obviously extremely important. So the first two, maybe 3 acres of land is the most important and should be valued the highest. When you have 5 acres of land and you compare that to other land sales or properties, you have to make an adjustment downward because of the fact that there's an extra 2 or 3 acres in the subject property that doesn't have visibility frontage, and it's actually not optimal for the size of the building of this property. And we'll get into that. So this major increase in land value that the county has is not warranted. They do have the land at $11.70 a square foot. If this property was maybe 2 acres or so, then maybe that land value would be close to what is appropriate. But we'll get into that as we move along here. Our page number 4, that just breaks down all the parcels as an economic unit. Those are the county's values. We have the total, but then we break each one down of land and improvements. But again, that's just the county's value, so you have that as reference. Following page is where the subject is located. We have some aerials. One of the aerials is we break down and show you why the parcel is an economic unit. I mean, you have, for example, a building, one building on both, on two different parcels. Then there's a small sliver in between. And all this is being used as an economic unit for the dealership, and for cars and for clients and for workers, et cetera. So I don't think there's really an issue there. I think the appraiser is fine looking at it as an economic unit. As we move along, there's some pictures of the subject again to show you the inferior nature. But again, given the fact that the county is also looking at this as an inferior dealership in the sense of the year built and the quality construction, if you go to our page 12, you'll notice that at the very bottom, our RCNLD, or replacement cost new less depreciation, is $582,639. The county's improvement, that's the improvement value we have. The county's improvement value is only $653,000. So actually, we're not not even $100,000 less. Approximately, I mean, I can add this up, obviously, but whether it's $60,000 or $70,000 less, that would be on the improvement value. So the majority of value is on land. The majority of increase in value seems to obviously be on the land value. Now, our land value, we have a $6.82. As you can see, if you go back to page 12, we have an adjusted land value of $682. And we'll get into what we use to determine that value. Again, on page 13 and beyond, that is the improvement pages from Marshall and Swift that we use to determine the improvement value. But again, there's only about a $60,000 or so difference in our improvement versus the county. This particular case really is about slightly about the improvements, but more about this major increase in value due to the land. And we do not agree that the entire land should be valued at $1,170 a square foot. So if you go to our page number 19 and page 20, page 20, by the way, only has our land sale 5. So we have 5 land sales, but 4 out of the 5 land sales are given on page 19. So if you go to page 19, it gives you the subject first, and it gives you our 4 land sales. Now, as you can see here, the subject is 5.08 acres. These comparables range from less than half an acre, which is not as comparable, of course, up to 3.78 acres. Now, even before size adjustments, these land parcels, which are similar to the subject, and I'll show you how close they are in a second here by our map, but they sold for, as you can see here, $858 a square foot. We have it says $/SF, so that's dollar per square foot they sold for. Land sale 1, $858, land sale 2, $972, land sale 3, $596, and land sale 4, $1070. We're on for $1170. That's even before the size adjustments. Now, I absolutely do not agree with the person that made our adjustments, meaning they did negative adjustments because these parcels are smaller, our sales, and, of course, per square foot, they would sell for more than the subject. But these are absolutely minor adjustments, and I do not understand why we only gave, you know, approximately 7 to 10% negative adjustment for these. These land sales, you know, some of them are an acre or so, one's 3.78. I mean, if anything, because these are so much smaller, it should be a 30, 40, 50% adjustment downward. But my our whole point is that this major increase in value in land, it's now on for 1170 a square foot, over 5 acres of subject. We have land sales, even before size adjustments, that sold for less. and they should have been adjusted much more down given the size aspect that they're smaller. We do have one comparable on page 20 that is actually larger than the subject, and it sold for $1.37. That doesn't seem as comparable, but just to show you that the size of the properties does matter as far as the larger the property would sell for less. Again, you're talking about the sales we have, and by the way, if you go to our page number 21, you can see how close they are. Sale 1, 2, 3, and 4 are right near the subject. I'm hoping the appraiser's sales are land sales are as close as ours. And these land sales, again, are much smaller. Again, the optimal size, it doesn't surprise me that these land sales here that are 1 acre or so, you know, they only sold for less than $11 a square foot. And that's a great size, great visibility, frontage, et cetera. Again, the subject property having 5 acres absolutely would sell for less per square foot, especially given the building size on there and the fact that only the first 2 to 3 acres should be valued at maybe $8 or $9 or $10 a square foot. So please take all that into account. We have the full CoStar printouts of all of our land sales starting on page 22 and beyond. Again, I don't think this major increase in land value is warranted, especially given the fact that we have land sales that are close by that are smaller than the subject property, and the subject property is not optimal size. The last 2 acres will be valued at far less. So the value should not be $1,170 square foot for the entire parcel. We have a value that we came up with of about $682 a square foot, but obviously it's up to the hearing officer to decide whether they believe the value should be $1,170 a square foot, $682, or maybe somewhere in between. And that concludes our presentation.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mary.
Ben is going to be presenting for today.
I'm Mary for the day. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning. I would like to start out by just addressing a couple of points that were brought up in Wayne's valuation. And the first one is when we're looking at the value of the property as one economic unit and comparing the assessed value this year in comparison to last year, the last year's value was not the assessed value that the assessor's office placed on this unit. The last year's value was based off of a previous Board of Equalization hearing. And so the 2021 assessed value just was heard at the state yesterday. So, you know, those percentages, quite frankly, are very inaccurate.
We object to that because they're absolutely accurate. What's not accurate about it?
What's not accurate is it's not a market increase. It's an adjudicated value in 2021.
That's fine. Right. The board lowered the value. We understand the board lowered the value. That's good to know.
That was not mentioned in your testimony, Wayne, that you implied that the assessor's office brought it up that way.
Oh, right. Okay, I apologize. That's true. Okay, thank you.
All right. And then in regards to since we are valuing this as an economic unit, I can go into my land comps a little later and look at break down exactly what we have on each parcel in relation to their size, and also looking at our value of $1,170 a foot, which is an overall value for the parcel. So I will address that in a little bit. So this property is located over 5 parcels of land with 3 separate improvements on it. The first improvement is the main car showroom building consisting of 13,162 square feet. This building includes a showroom, a service garage, an office, and storage space. It was built in 1974, and it has an effective age of 1974 on it. There was an addition of the service garage in 1996, and per our report, you will see that that 1996 build has an effective age of 1996 on it, covering the service garage area with a steel roof cover. Building number two is a storage warehouse with a small office for a total of 5,600 square feet. It was built in 1974 with a 1974 effective age. Building number three, which actually fronts Highway 99, is a 1,650 square foot office building. That was built in 1996, and the effective age reflects 1996. So, when we're going through on page two, you can see the separate parcels listed out with the land values on them. Here at Clark County, when we organize our improvements, we oftentimes will include all the improvements on one select parcel, kind of the parent parcel or the main parcel of the bundle, just for simplicity in our system. So right now we have on parcel 103, we have the three improvements on that parcel. You go on to page three, we have a subject location map. Page four is a closer subject location map, kind of zoomed in, showing the overall boundaries. This economic unit is located just east of I-5, west of Highway 99, between 78th Street and 99th Street. 2018 traffic counts range from 15,806 cars per day on the portion of Highway 99 to 18,344 cars a day on Northeast 99th Street. On page 5 is a detailed parcel identification showing not only buildings 1, 2, and 3 and their locations, but also each lot and its perspective to the exact location of those lots. So you can see on parcel 100, that has the direct frontage from Highway 99. And then it comes back, we have buildings 2 and 1 located on parcel 103. Parcels 129 and 116 are definitely on the rearage of the overall parcel. We had a inspection in 2019 where we had three of our appraisers, commercial appraisers, go out. Dicana had granted us permission on all of his properties to go through and physically inspect them, update photos, and remeasure. So even though the property was built in 1974, you can tell by the pictures starting on page 6 that the building is in overall very nice shape for the year built. Page 7 shows interior photos of the showroom and some of the offices that are located in building 2. Page 8 shows building 1, the building that fronts Highway 99, and it's some pictures of the training room where they host meetings with the employees. And building 1, actually, I apologize, this is building 1, yes. And then building below it is building 1's picture of the service garage, showing the inside of that. On page 9, we have building 2, showing the exterior of the storage warehouse. Page 10, we have a photo showing the interior finish of the storage warehouse, as well as the steel canopy roof area. On page 11, we have building 3, And this one is the building that fronts Highway 99. So we show an exterior photo of that as well as the interior. And so I'd like to just point out those overall conditions and qualities there.
Can I ask a question right here? Were these built as other use buildings? These were not built as car dealerships, is that correct?
Regarding which building, all of them?
Yes, gosh, start with number one.
You know, building one, I am uncertain. I wasn't, to be honest, I wasn't born in 1974. So that's a very good question. I'm not sure exactly of the original purpose of building one. I do know building two was initially built as a for a storage warehouse function. And I also know that building three, that fronts Highway 99, was specifically built for, you know, business operation and office function.
Okay. Or Dick Hannon.
I would have to confirm on this. Did Dick Hanna build the building three for the purpose of his office, or was that built before he owned the property?
I do not know when Mr. Hanna purchased that property, but that building number three is low quality office building, and I, you know, it's not quite modular, but if you're inside, it really looks like. So I don't believe there was ever any other intended use for that building. It's a very simple office type structure.
And I do see, per the county records, that, you know, the Dick Hanna purchased the property in 2004. So these buildings were all constructed prior to him purchasing and owning it.
So they were all retrofitted for a dealership. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we would agree with the improvement value by the county if it makes it easier on this case, just so you're aware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two of them are not retrofitted.
Okay. Moving.
So they've agreed on the value, so probably right. Going to talk more about the land, right?
Well, yeah, we agree on improvement, not the land yet.
Yeah.
So moving on to page 13, I'd like to point out that a review was conducted, and Mr. Tannenbaum and Mr. Glidewell of Pivotal Tax Solutions had submitted evidence for the 2018 19, 20, 21, and 22 appeals, and it looks like their requests were overall withdrawn, with the exception of last year's that is currently at the state BTA level.
Not so relevant.
Moving on to, well, it is kind of relevant. It's showing that overall our assessed values are pretty well supported.
Right, except for last year. Got it.
When we're looking at our page 17 that goes through the assessor's land sales, these comparables were identified with the economic unit in mind. So we are looking at parcels that are, you know, our land sale parcel range goes from about 2.37 acres as on the low end and up to 6.82 acres on the high end. They are all similar in zone. The overall site has good exposure to Northeast Highway 99 and 95th Street. And the exposure is also very good from the Interstate 5 freeway. So when we were looking at these sales, we were also trying to compare and identify properties with similar exposure, frontage, and utility. So the five parcels could certainly be valued as single units, since they are all broken out as individual units. But they've been grouped into one economic unit due to the current usage of the property and in consideration of the taxpayer, which is a assessor office policy. So when we are looking at these, the six comparables here have the range from the 2.37 acres to the 6.82 acres, bracketing the subject site size. These six sales range in sale dates from April of 2020 to May of 2022, and we show a price range from $1.09 a square foot to $9.09 a square foot to $25.84 a square foot, with the subject currently with an overall price per square foot of $11.70 a square foot. So all of these sales do provide support for the subject's tax assessed value of $11.70 square feet. On an individual note, let me see here real quick. If we go on to page 19, just a brief summary of our land sales here. Sale number one is 3.1 miles north of the subject with frontage, exposure, and access to 10th Avenue. This does not front or have direct exposure to the freeway, Interstate 5. It is smaller in size, but similar in shape and similar in respect to access, zoning, and utility. And that sale reflected a sold price of $14.53 a foot. Sale two is, again, about 3 miles north of the subject, with frontage and exposure from 139th Street and Northeast 10th Avenue. It is similar in traffic and visibility for its location, with the exception of the freeway frontage exposure. It does not have direct exposure to the freeway here. However, it's larger in size at the 6.82 acres. It is similar in shape, access, zoning, and utility.
Ben?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know what the traffic count is on these comparables?
You know, I do not have that information with me today.
I just wondered if 10th Avenue compares to Highway 99.
Yeah, and I can definitely make a note of that, and for future appeals. But I didn't have access to that information. I just didn't gather it.
Are those comps? Are they north of the subject, or east, or where? I'm not even sure where 10th Avenue is.
Okay, there is a location map on page 21. And comparables 1, 2, and 3 are north of the subject.
Okay, I see now.
With comparables 4 and 6 south of the subject. And on page 22, comparable 5 is southeast of the subject.
Okay.
So those three properties are across the street from Fred Meyer, is that correct?
No,
that is not correct. They are...
I don't know if you know where Mountain View Veterinary Clinic is. So there's a petroleum station that is north of the fire station in Salmon Creek. Then you drop down the hill where the new on-ramp was built. There's acreage back there with a veterinary clinic that leads up to the women's clinic on... Can't describe the women's clinic, but close to the roundabout, but north of Fred Meyer's, the next stoplight.
Yeah, they're north of, but they're just across the street from Fred Meyer, aren't they? Are they?
They are on the north side of 139. Yeah.
It would, club number two would be Kitty Quarter, yes.
So it doesn't sound like they have the exposure that Highway 99 and the freeway does.
Yeah, those are, I would consider those are quasi-remote locations. But go ahead.
All right, so comparable three here was located 3.1 miles north of the subject with frontage and exposure from Northeast 16th Avenue, which is a dead-end cul-de-sac. So it has literally no traffic exposure or visibility in this location, with the exception of the I-5 freeway southbound 205 diversion lane that was being built there. And this previously was utilized as a home site prior to the sale. Overall, it was selected due to its similar size at 5.68 acres, its similar shape and zone. It is inferior in respect to the access, traffic, visibility, and exposure. And this sale sold for $9.09 a square foot, or a foot. Comparable six is located fairly, it's close in proximity to the subject. It's 0.7 miles to the south with frontage, exposure, and access from Highway 99 like the subject. And comparable four is located approximately 1,060 feet north of the Northeast 78th Street and Highway 99 intersection. So it has similar traffic and exposure in this location. It is similar in the zone, the utility, the shape, and traffic flows. While visibility and exposure to fronting Highway 99 is similar, it's considered inferior for the overall visibility because there is no exposure to Interstate 5. This sale sold for $14.76 a foot. A comparable number five is located approximately 6.6 miles southeasterly of the subject. And it's located in a commercial area that's considered quite similar to the subject with respect to similar commercial uses, heavy traffic flow, age, and construction quality of commercial properties in the Northeast Fourth Plain Boulevard area. This includes frontage and exposure to Northeast Andreessen Road to the east, although it has no access to it. But it does have shared access from Northeast Fourth Plain Boulevard. It's located along the side, the west, northeast side of Andreessen Road, approximately 150 feet north of Fourth Plain Boulevard, and accessed, again, via ingress and egress easements. Both Northeast Andreessen and Northeast Fourth Plain have similar traffic usage as the subject's Highway 99 frontage. This site is comparable in shape, zoning, and utility, and is inferior with respect to having shared access, no frontage along Fourth Plain Boulevard, and no, in the areas of visibility and exposure. So this sale was considered inferior, but it is reflecting a sales price of $25.84 a foot. The final sale, located 1.2 miles southeast of the subject with frontage, exposure, and access to and from Northeast 78th Street. The frontage on it is also, the traffic and visibility in this location is considered inferior to that of Highway 99 and the subject location. It is similar in shape, zoning, utility, and access. It is considered inferior with respect to the traffic and visibility and export and exposure. This sale reflecting a price of $9.72 a foot. So we have a sales range in size for land going from 2.37 acres to 6.82 acres, a sales price range from $9.09 to $25.84, and all of these sales took place between April of 2020 and May of 2022. Moving on here, when we, go ahead.
I think that if Wayne and stick to our building improvement values, you won't need to go through your cost approach or anything.
Okay.
He said he agrees.
So since Wayne stipped to the improvement values, we don't need to go through the cost approach. So let's go on here. On page 27, in regards to the other approaches that were not selected for this property, in Clark County, full-service automotive dealerships are most frequently owner-occupied with very few cases of buildings being leased for car sales and service. Income and expense statements are very difficult to obtain and often unreliable for use in the income capitalization approach. For these reasons, the income approach was not considered for this analysis and would not be deemed reliable. In regards to the sales comparison approach, in Washington State, the value associated with the trade name or intangibles must not be included in any portion of the assessed valuation of the property. When looking at sales transactions of automotive dealerships, the sale most often includes the continued use of a brand name, for example, Toyota, Honda, Chrysler, etc., and standing inventory of cars and other personal business property. Separating out each factor and a total sales price and determining a value for that factor would be speculative at best. It is for this reason why our sales comparison approach was not considered. On to page 28 here. The fact that the improvements are older makes estimating depreciation more relevant and increases subjectivity. Yet with the special design and use of the improvements as a primary consideration, the cost approach is the most reliable factor. So in conclusion here, I wanted to go ahead real quickly and go over a couple of rebuttals, notes, and points regarding Mr. Tannenbaum's earlier testimony here. Regarding on his page, let's see, it was his land sales. So in that report, I believe it's page 19. It begins on 19. A land sale number one was also on the market for 678 days and finally sold from a price drop from $950,000 to $400,000. This parcel has an irregular shape due to its flanking I-5 and existing properties, which presents very limited utility. It is situated between the I-5 buffer land to the west and the individual improved properties to the east. And although it has great exposure to I-5, it has limited exposure to 13th Avenue. It also has very limited deeded parking, I think, for that parcel. According to CoStar, it was only deeded with 22 spaces. Land sale number two was sold with a multifamily preliminary approval development packet. And so it was all ready to go from the county standpoint to be developed for multifamily, and currently that project has been started. Land sale number three actually was being reported as sold as 0.52 acres. However, the usable land is 0.27 acres because the other 0.25 acres is actually a bioswale and retention pond, which is non-usable land. It's also limited exposure due to being located behind a big box store, Big Five Sporting Goods there off Highway 99. And it is located behind that. So the square foot adjustment on that sale, instead of $11.48 a foot, it is $5.96 a foot. His land sale number four has very limited exposure. It's located on Northeast 15th Avenue with access to Highway 99, but no frontage. And then regarding land sale number five, it's zoned actually light industrial. So right then and there, it's not a valid sale when we're looking at what the subject is and its current use and zone. It also had some existing structures that were needing to be demoed, and over 6 acres of that parcel are considered wetlands and sensitive. So when I'm looking at these facts, his selected land sales do not represent a true representation of the value of the subject's combined land. So in closing here, I would like to...
Well, I want to interrupt then for just a minute.
Go ahead.
Just a point of clarification. If you look at Mr. Tannenbaum's report, starting on page 19...
I can't hear you, Mary.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, if you look at Mr. Tannenbaum's report starting on page 19, there are, and this is just clarification, there are CoStar listings behind that talk about the sale of each of those properties. One doesn't equal sale number one, and two doesn't equal sale number two. They're mixed up in their order. So if you're going back to research them, his comp number one on his grid is sale number four in CoStar, that sort of thing. So just so you don't think they're matched up.
Okay.
Clarity.
Okay.
Okay.
So in conclusion, we are asking that the original assessed value for 2022 of $3,242,544 be upheld.
Can you tell me what the total value of these properties were in before they were adjusted by the Board of Equalization last year?
Just a moment.
I can. Just one second. Let me pull up that information.
By the way, we'd still like our rebuttal since that was very, very lengthy.
Yeah, you will.
Okay. Hope we shorten these next ones up a little bit.
Okay.
Will do. Just one second.
Here it is. So here's 2021. Yeah.
Okay, for the 2021 tax year, the overall assessed value was
$2,978,475. Okay.
Thank you. Apologize for, we got more reports and paper around here than we know what to do with.
Okay, Mr. Tannenbaum, you have rebuttal.
Okay, and then, by the way, that value was reduced again to, by the board to $1,814,403, which, by the way, we don't even agree with this year. We are higher than that in our valuation. In fact, even our own valuation of $2,090,000 or so would be a little bit higher because, number one, we're agreeing essentially with their improvement value. It's a little bit higher than ours, and possibly our land value might be a little overall low compared to what we've heard today. But one thing I just like to say is that, cause I think it's important because I think I've done enough hearings. I do them all the time for over 10, 11 years, is that we are supposed to be biased. Our client is the taxpayer, and with a lack of a better term, the county's client is also the taxpayer. They're not supposed to be biased whatsoever. And I don't, and sometimes I feel like this county is just trying to win the case with not being, they are being biased when they're not supposed to be. And I'll give you a perfect example on this particular property. First of all, on their comps, for example. So, you know, typically they might say, well, okay, here's the closest of our land sales, but here's why we believe other land sales much further away are also valid, or the, for back a little, lack of a better term. Number two is, and I'll get to that in a second. Number two is they use a land sale that sold in 5/2022. Unless I'm mistaken, I think, and maybe it wasn't this county because there's so many, that I think we use land sales or other sales that were after the valuation date, and the county was like, oh, that's after the valuation date. How can you use that? But they, in turn, used one here and didn't mention that. If you're unbiased, you would mention that. Hey, we used this one well after the value date, but here's why, even though it's not valid. Number two is, and I think I know why they did it, and that's what I mean by being biased, because of their land sales, there's only two nearby the subject property. One of them, Comp 4, is the one that sold 5/2022. It's the closest one. But why wouldn't they mention then, if it's that important of a comp, that it's well after the value date, if they weren't biased? Number two, their only other comp nearby, and that's why they didn't mention it, is because the only other comp near the subject sold for $972 a square foot. Now, I understand there's adjustments either way, but we're on for $1,170 a square foot. So our point being is that they should have brought up those issues of those comparables as far as distance and as far as the one sale being well after the value date. But another thing is, if they were, as far as being not unbiased, they would explain that obviously – the most important thing when it comes to especially land sales is being distanced from the subject property location. That is extremely important in that sense. Many of our land sales are near the subject property. One thing is, for clarity, our land sales are not wrong. They're just out of order in a sense, as I'm glad they brought that up, as far as the numbers on the map might be different from the number order of CoStar reports. But they're all the same land sales in our information that we have. And they all support much less, and they're all less in square feet. And there was nothing wrong about ours. You can make adjustments to our land sales, but it still wouldn't reach, especially given the size aspect, would not reach to us the value near 1170 overall square foot. Also, using the word, there's another problem we have, is using the word, well, we don't look at this as a valid sale. Well, no, a non-valid sale would mean non-arm's length transaction. So I would appreciate if they don't use the word, we don't think it's a valid sale, or it's not valid. That's incorrect. In other words, they didn't like our sales, and they gave the reasons why, which is fine, but it doesn't make it a non-valid sale. That's incorrect. So it's absolutely valid sales that we have. So going back in general to talk about the value of said property, if we're talking about location, which is the most important part, they have one property sold after the valuation date of 1476, but it's 3.11 acres, and they have the only property nearby the subject that they have 1.2 miles away sold for 972, and it's 3.78 acres. And there's one other main factor that they're not explaining, which I tried to explain, which is of their nearby comps especially. Yes, they give a couple of comps that are similar size to the subject, but they're over 3 miles away. So that's very different. The properties that are close to the subject, that are 3 acres, that's a great size. Visibility, frontage, optimal use, et cetera. We're over 5 acres. If you told me based on their sale that's 972, and even based on their sale that's after value date, okay, maybe we can see if the subject was 3 acres, why it would be valued at 1170. But no, the first 3 acres might be valued at $11 or 1170. But the final 2 acres is far less value, given less frontage, visibility, and not optimal use, and excess land. They should be valued, and from our experience, at least 30-40% less than that first 3 acres. So I'm just hoping the hearing officer will take that into account in overall looking at the location, size, et cetera, everything that has to do with the comps and the subject property, and hopefully realize that, yes, maybe they are correct in their $11 or so on the first 3 acres of the subject, but overall it would be less because there's much lower value on the additional 2 acres given the size and all the information I provided today. And hopefully overall on a cost basis, you'll agree with the improvement value of the county, but have a lower land value, and that completes our rebuttal.
I don't have any questions.
I'm fine with that. I don't have any further questions.
No, I'm okay.
All right.
Okay, so am I good to close that one?
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 12th, 2022 hearing, or 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 188 for property ID 158116000. The property is owned by Hannah Coxley Drive Real Property. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Mary Howells and Ben Ransnett present as the representatives for the assessor's office, and we have Wayne Tenenbaum present as the representative for the appellant, and everyone has been sworn in for the day.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about this one.
Sure, just give me 1 second. I just need like 30 seconds. I'll be right there. Okay, this is Hannah Motor Company, and this particular property, just wanted to make sure that it was the dealership that I think it is, but either way, we're agreeing with the improvement value again on this particular property on a cost basis. We're mainly just looking at the cost basis with the lower land value. On page number 2, the county's value is $2,308,400 or $80.24. We have a value of $2,170,112 or $75.43 a square foot. So we're not that far off per square foot, but we do have a lower land value. The land value on page 3 by the county is given at $11 a square foot. It's 1.62 acres. Again, since we're agreeing with the improvement value, it's mainly just the land that we're focusing on for this case. But we did supply some aerials of the subject, so you have a good sense of the location. I see that it's looks like in the middle of some other buildings here, not next to the freeway location. It's located at, I think I've actually seen this property from now, I remember. I might have seen all of these. I don't remember. It's many years ago, but or at least we have somebody in our office visit the vast majority of the properties we have, but I think I remember this one being in location with a very quiet street on Coxley Drive. And so keep that in mind when we're talking about the land value. The land on this is the land comps we have is page number 10. And the land, again, $11 a square foot, 1.62 acres. We have land sales here. Out of these four land sales, three are very similar in size, meaning they range from 1.07 acres of land to 1.95, subject is 1.62 acres. We only have one sale that's quite a bit larger at 3.78 acres. Either way, this dollar per square foot, the subject's on for 11 for the county, and all of the sales sold, even before any adjustments, between 689 a square foot to 1070 a square foot. All commercial sales, and the subject is commercial, but again, and maybe the appraiser will go over this as far as to be fair, unless I'm incorrect, this is a much more quiet street than some of the other properties we've had. There's very minor adjustments for size, so there really isn't many adjustments in general. And again, even before adjustments, these all support a lower value per square foot. Three out of four are very similar in size. We give a map on page 11 of where the subject is and where the other land sales are in Vancouver. Again, full CoStar printout starting on page 12 of all the commercial land sales that we have here that seem to be similar in location and traffic possibly to the subject. But maybe we can have the appraiser talk about that fairly. But either way, we think these are very similar land sales. One of the land sales we have actually has frontage on Freeway 5, which would be quite superior to the subject. From our information, either way, we have the commercial land sales that support less than $11 a square foot, and that's what this is on for, and that completes our presentation.
Okay.
Hey, your valuation is based on the income approach, is that correct?
Are you asking me?
Ben? Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm a little, just tell us what you did quickly.
Actually, this property, we are going with the market approach on it. This was a property that I took the appeal for an appraiser who recently retired. So when I'm looking at the data, I have no idea on why the AV is at $80.87 a square foot. But that'll definitely be under review for our reval period.
I'm sorry, what was I'm using? I missed that.
The price per square foot on this is currently showing $80.87 a square foot for a Class B office building.
Okay.
If you look at the picture on the front of your report, yeah, I'm still a little confused on why we were even discussing the cost approach. I mean, an investor would see this type of property and either utilize the income or the market. So for the market approach for this property, I have provided four market sales. The subject property is built in 2005. Square footage of the property is 28,546 on 1.62 of an acre, and we currently have it assessed at $80.87 a square foot. I have a comparable one that was a recent sale, a little larger in site size at 2.24 of an acre, a little larger in square footage at 30,050.
Yeah, we can read those. Get through it. We can read those.
All right. I'm basically recommending that we sustain the assessed value for the market range provided.
And you're using the market approach when you're actually the income approach is what supports your value.
The market far supports the value as well.
Well, no, it doesn't. It makes you look ridiculous.
Well, again, this was one that this was an appeal that I inherited, and if it goes to appeal again, things are going to be looking considerably different. So I agree with you. It does look ridiculous. Unfortunately, I don't have any answers for you as to why.
So I'd just like to make a couple of quick comments. Yes, if this is, and we are incorrect, possibly, that it is an office building, then I wish we'd used either the market or income approach. But again, if the county's not biased and they believe that the taxpayer they represent also, I don't think they would have laughed about the value. We don't appreciate that part. But anyway, that's all we got.
I don't have any other questions on these.
Nope, nor do I.
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 12th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 179 for property ID 14449500005. The property is owned by Oliver M. Hidden and Donna C. Hidden. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present with the assessor's office, but we do have Wayne Tannenbaum present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Okay, tell us about this one.
All right, this property is a United Rentals type property. They're built very basic type buildings. Page three, I'll just go through this fast. The county's value is $565,700. We have a cost of purchase equaling $382,951. Page number four is built in 1983. 9,800 square foot building on 0.9, a little less than 1 acre of land. If we scroll down at some pictures and aerials of the subject, we come to our cost approach, which would be, I believe, on page nine. And on this cost approach, we do have both a lower improvement in land value. You can see we used all marginals of pages from page 10 and beyond to get all of our factors here. There's not much that's been remodeled to this property, so it really is more like a 1983 effective year type property. And again, all the marginals of pages we used to get every category here, including multipliers, replacement costs, new, depreciation, etc. Extra features, entrepreneurial profit, and we came up with an RCNLD, placement cost new less depreciation, of $255,162. County's improvement value is rounded $350,000, so we are about $100,000 less on our improvements. And as far as the land value goes, we're at quite a bit less than the subject, and the land sales would support a lower value on page number 15. I do think that it would have been nice to have more than two land sales, but that is on page 13. Additionally, one of them seem to be much bigger than the subject. So these aren't really as comparable. I do believe that if we're going to look at this particular property based on a cost approach, that we'd probably overall just be about $100,000 less on improvements, because I think our land sales are not similar in size to the subject. So on overall cost basis, we're lower for the subject, and that completes our presentation.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
No, me neither.
No questions.
Thank you, Wayne.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and then I'm good on that one, right?
Starting over at the beginning?
Oh, Dan.
Close the hearing. Yeah.
This is a continuation of the January 12th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 153 for property ID 712-81177. The property is owned by JJHW, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Wayne Tannenbaum present as the representative for the appellant, and he has already been sworn in for the day.
Go ahead, tell us about this one, Wayne.
Sure, and this is, let me just see here, make sure I have the right one here. Okay. I think I got it here. And then just give me 1 second. I think I pulled up the wrong packet, but now I'm at the right area. Look correct packet. And yes, I agree. We don't have any appraiser evidence on this one. It looks to be an industrial type property. On page number two, we have the, and I don't know if it was the board that reduced this or what the situation was. All I know is that the ending value of the prior year is $1,928,494. It was raised this year to $2,547,050, $51.54. So if they had raised the value, you think that they would have made the effort to do some evidence today. I don't know. It's strange to me. But anyway, we have a cost approach that comes in actually quite a bit higher than even last year's value. Again, we're basically arguing that the prior year value should be raised. And normally, I don't believe that agents do that type of thing, but we are just, from the basis of the evidence we have, believe the value should be $2,298,506 or $46.51 a square foot. Page number three, the property was built in 1998 on 4.07 acres. The building square feet is 49,415 square feet. The breakdown of land improvements by the county is given on page three. They're on for 4 acres at $350 a square foot for land, and the majority values on the building at $38.99 a square foot for a total of $51.54 a square foot for this industrial warehouse type property. We're doing some aerials of the subject, front views, side views, etc. And then our main evidence on, I believe, let me just get the page number here. Page 11 is the warehouse distribution, Marsh and Swift information. There's not an appraiser here to dispute any of this. And all of this information is given on the following pages per Marsh and Swift. So if you wanted to check our multipliers or the per square foot value for warehouses, anything on this sheet, page 11, is given on the following pages per Marsh & Swift, including the depreciation tables, multipliers, etc. And the total, all we have is RCNLD, which is replacement cost new less depreciation, $1,678,006. So rounded $1,678,000, the county's is $1,926,550. So I think that is the main contention, is that it looks like we are about $250,000 or so less on the improvement value. We actually do not dispute the land value. So I think our entire case is based on the cost approach and the fact that we understand the land value, but we do not, we are lower by $250,000 on improvement for a total cost value of $2,298,506. And that completes our presentation.
Okay, I have no questions.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, then Michelle, could you quickly look up what the assessed value was as of last year, 22?
Yeah, one sec. Okay, so this is showing.
Then you have to look at the notice of value.
You're wanting, which year are you wanting?
Last year.
22.
So this current hearing is 422. Is that the one you're wanting?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The notice of value. Well, no, it would have been the notice of value. Yeah, that's right. What is it?
So it's $2,547,050.
Same as 21?
So 21, it's not listing a notice of value for this property.
Well, look at that number right there.
It does say, so there's
it's
no
on that page right there. You just said. It's on the same page.
So the...
Go back to that page.
The notice itself shows the same value for the previous value. That's not what's showing on GIS. GIS doesn't have a property ID.
I understand that. They don't issue a new notice of value if we give them an adjustment. So it's the same notice of value for all 3 years.
Well, before the board reduced it, right?
Yeah. Got it.
Okay.
So are you good with that one?
Yeah, close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 12th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 161 for property ID 107700000. The property is owned by JJHW LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Wayne Tenenbaum present as the representative over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
So go ahead and tell us about this one.
All right. This should be the collision center that we have here. And
No.
I'm sorry?
Is that the right one?
Yeah, body shop.
It
says body shop right on the front of it.
Or body shopping.
That's the same.
Oh, never mind. I had the wrong one. Okay, go ahead.
Sure. So this is it's quite interesting. So it's a body shop collision repair, which are also hard to value in the sense, unless you have similar nearby sales, that might be, because they're not really leased that much. And we did not find nearby similar sales, and I assume the appraiser didn't find anything because they don't even have evidence, I believe. But it's just hard for me to understand why they're not there, since if you go to page 2, you'll notice that at least what we have is the ending values of for 2 years ago was $5,448,292. Then it went to $6,395,000, and then for this particular year, $7,251,970. So, is that correct? Can I ask that? I'm sure. Make sure I have the right packet here.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Okay, so that's the correct county value. Now we have a cost quotes coming in at $6,426,915, which again is important on these type of collision centers because they are hard to value in general, but. That's a value that's, again, even higher than the prior year value, and it's much higher than 2 years ago. But we are definitely lower than what the current value is of the $7,251,970. Our page number 3 has information on the subject, built in 2019, building square feet, 148,928, and 5.42 acres of land. Again, you'd have to find a new type collision center sale to compare it to the subject. Otherwise, it's very different. Building square feet, I went over all that. Okay, so just in general, the land per square foot is on for $550 by the county per square foot. Improvements are on at $39.98 for a total of $48.69 a square foot. We have some aerials of the subject property, interior view of where they fix cars. You can see it's a very open type space. For the collision center, the front of the building is newer. It's all newer, but it looks a little bit nicer. But when you go inside, you can see that's really just an open area to fix cars. And on this particular one, I think we seem to agree with the improvement value on our page 9, and we're just looking actually at a lower land value per square foot. On page number 10, we have two land sales. I do wish we had more than that, but we have two land sales. But they're similar to the subject, meaning it's hard to find larger land sales. Subject's 5.42 acres. Our land sales are 7 acres and 7.52 acres. The subject's on for $5.50 a square foot, but these sold for $2.49 a square foot and $1.37 a square foot. We had some minor adjustments for size, but they're quite similar to the subject. On page 11, that is where the subject is located in the comparables. Again, it's a little harder to find larger size land sales. We did find these two. On page 12, these are commercial land sales that did sell for less per square foot than the subject. But again, I'm going to leave it up to the board to decide if they believe that these are a similar type, at least similar in some respects, location, and all other aspects. But in total, we are looking for a lower cost value, mainly based on our lower land value. That's all we have for this one.
Okay.
No questions.
No questions.
I'm fine with that.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 12th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 182 for property ID 158098000. The property is owned by Procaliber Real Property LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Ransonet present as the representatives for the assessor's office. And we have Wayne Tenenbaum present as the representative for the appellant. Everyone has been sworn in for the day, so I'll hand it back over to you folks.
Hey, go ahead and tell us about this.
Okay. This is Procaliber Motorsports. I think they're selling the type of ATVs, different type of Yamaha and Kawasaki vehicles. On page number one, I believe, the following page after the cover page, current value $5,624,710 or $88.72 a square foot. I'm not sure if the value most likely was reduced by the board. Maybe the appraiser can explain that. But regardless of that, it is quite an increase from whether it was a decision or what have you from the prior year. We actually are much higher in our valuation than even the prior year. Again, we don't try to make things work in the sense of, oh, well, look at the value of the prior year. We should try to ask for $3.9 million. No. We agree with the improvement value. After looking at it again, we're actually in line with the improvement value of the county, and our land sales support somewhat less, but not a tremendous amount less. So looks like we have a value of $5,141,590 or $81.10 a square foot, which is much higher than the prior year value, regardless if it was a decision or what have you. So just so you know that even though we are biased for our client, of course, we're not going to sway away from trying to make something work tremendously. We just use the same information that we have for all of our cases. The year built on this property was 1970, effective 1975, but overall, that's not really an issue since we agree with the improvement value. It's really about the land value. We have 4.18 acres on the subject property. The county's valuing this at $10.39 for the 4.18 acres. There is some pictures, aerials of the subject property. Looks like it is somewhat, it's not near the freeway, I believe. It's just, you can see by one of the aerials, it's towards the middle. The further away aerial, you'll see where the subject is located. We also have a map of general area where it's located. And you'll notice on page number, I believe, six, that we're not really arguing the improvement value on a cost basis on this, just the land value. Our land value we have is $1,408,110. If you combine that adjusted land value with the county's improvement value, that's how we have our value at $5,141,590, which is approximately a little less than $500,000 less overall value than the county's overall value. Our page number seven gives our land sales that we have provided, and this in this particular case, we were able to find quite similar as far as land sizes. The subject, again, 4.18 acres commercial land. Our three sales are commercial land, and the first two are very similar in size. Land sale one, 3.78 acres, sold in December 13th of 21, right before the value date, at $972 a square foot. We're on for $1039. Land sale two was 4.41 acres, very similar commercial property, sold at 9 of 21, maybe a few months or so before the valuation date, sold for $695 a square foot. And then we have another property that sold a few days before the valuation date. So our comps are very near the valuation date, which is what we hope for. All commercial, that one sold for $689 a square foot and was actually smaller than the subject, and we did adjust somewhat, 4.5% for it being smaller comp and it being superior in that sense. However, they're all quite similar. And again, the range is $689 a square foot to $972 before any adjustments, but there was only minor adjustments for size. And the subject is on for $10.39 a square foot. On our page number eight is where the map of the subject is and where the comparables are. you'll see that the subject is not on the freeway or frontage there. And, of course, neither are our comps. So we believe they're similar, and they're all similar in commercial nature. Starting on page number 9 is the full CoStar printout given for those commercial land sales. So, in general, we're looking for lower cost basis based on the land sales analysis. So I don't think there's a reason to go over much of the improvement analysis. But as far as this is mainly to us, more of the land value should be lower based on the comparable land sales we have, and that concludes our presentation.
Okay, I don't have any questions.
Go ahead.
Is it my
Mary or Ben, whoever's going to do this?
Is it my understanding, Mr. Tannenbaum, that you are agreeing with our improvement values?
The county's improvement value you have on record, yes.
Okay. One quick question before I get started. I was just curious, where do you derive the adjustments for your land sale comparables?
Let me just see. Is that the county question?
Yes.
Well, that's fine. I thought the board had to direct questions to me, but am I incorrect about that? That's fine. Well, that's just based on the knowledge of the area and expertise based on land different sizes, but they are very specific and subjective, and of course they could be argued one way or the other.
Okay. Thank you.
My comment earlier about the length of the discussion was not directed at Wayne alone. It was an overall comment for both sides, so I just wanted to clarify that.
That's fine. I thought for surely it was directed at me. this is my
if you fits, Ben, you just have
I'm the new kid.
Well, I talk a lot too.
So these are Ben's first set of hearings, I'll just speak up and say, since Wayne has stipped to our improvement value, you do not need to read to the board all of the improvement information.
Correct.
We'll just talk about the land and the land.
Okay. Well, that'll make this a lot more quick here. If we can go ahead and just jump to page A32, that is where where our land sales are located. And for this valuation, we provided 4 of them. I would like to point out real quickly that per Washington state law, the assessor's office does have the right to use sales that are, if they're for recent sale dates, all the way up to the date of our hearing. So in regards to our... Regarding comparable one, there it is. In regards to comparable one, it was a very recent sale as of March of 2022. It was 5.8 acres, sold for $11.21 a foot. Comparable two is located on Fourth Plain as well. Was of another recent sale, and it sold for $25.85 a square foot. Comparable three was a little smaller than the subject, and that sold for $23.37 a square foot. And then comparable four is also similar to the subject with similar frontage, and that sold for $15.96. So when we are looking across the board, all four sales bracket the subject size and strongly support the subject's tax land valuation for 2022 at $10.39 a square foot. On the location map, it's located on page A34. And when you look at that location map, you can quickly see that we have sales 2, 3, and 4, all share similar zoning, utility, and frontage, similar to the subject on Fort Plain Boulevard. Okay, we can go ahead and go skip this cost analysis here. So just to reiterate where the subject's location is, it's located on Northeast Fourth Plain Boulevard. The property lies south of Northeast Fourth Plain Boulevard and east of Northeast Coxley Drive. So it's approximately about 700 feet north of SR 500 and 2,600 feet east of Interstate 205 freeway. Traffic counts for the portion of Fourth Plain Boulevard average are approximately between 17,365 vehicles a day. Then, it is our opinion that the January 1, 2022 assessed value of $5,624,710 be upheld. That concludes.
No.
Oh, and then regarding the rebuttal, Mr. Tannenbaum's land sales here, I would like to point out that land sale number one, again, was sold with a preliminary multifamily development packet that was approved by the county for multifamily use. Land sale number two was inferior in utility and exposure, as well as its triangular shape, which affects the overall utility of the parcel. There were also demo costs that were not factored in on the existing structures on the land. Also not to mention the inferior frontage exposure that it represents there being fronting Northeast 78th Avenue.
And Street? Then
the, I'm sorry, 78th
Street.
Correct. And then the final land sale number three was an inferior utility and frontage. According to CoStar, it has sloping topography throughout the lot, and it was also on the market for over 1,000 days. According to our GIS, it also has significant low and wetlands and actually sits below the road, which is Northeast St. John's right there. That's all I have.
Okay.
I don't have any questions.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Our turn for rebuttal.
Go ahead.
I'll just be brief. I think that there's three land sales. I can agree. Well, first let me say I agree with them that our third land sale, the sloping topography, et cetera, it's also not as similar in size to the subject. It's not as weighted. I don't agree, though, that I think our first land, two land sales are similar in many respects. The subject does not have freeway frontage. And as far as our two first land sales, which are commercial zoned, et cetera, they sold for at least a dollar, a few dollars less than the subject per square foot and very similar in size. I think the county has one sale that's within an acre of the subject, meaning their most similar size sale. And that one only sold for a dollar more than the subject per square foot. So I'm hoping that the board will take their one land sale that's similar in size, that's a dollar more, and take our two land sales that are similar in size and come up with the value. And I think if you take those three, the most similar in size to the subject, that there would be at least a dollar less per square foot overall on the subject land property. That's all we have.
Real quickly, I would just like to state and remind the board that we are located on Northeast 4th Plain Avenue, not Hazel.
Boulevard.
Boulevard, yep. Not Hazeldale.
Got it. Okay, is that it? I have no more questions.
I'm okay.
Yeah, questions for me.
Okay.
I'm actually just need a 5-minute restroom break. Is that fine?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, and then Dan, am I good to close that one?
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 12th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 183 for property ID 158106000. The property is owned by ProCaliber Real Property, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Ransonet present as the representatives for the assessor's office, and we have Wayne Tenenbaum present over the phone as the representative for the appellant. Everyone has been sworn in for the day, so I will go ahead and hand back over to you folks.
Go ahead and tell us about this one. Wayne?
Sure. Yes, I am here. Let me go ahead and do it. This is the, I believe this is the Gold Cup Cafe property. And this one will be pretty brief on because it's a retail property. Obviously, it's a cafe type property. And even though we have a sales and a cost on page 3, I don't believe that the hearing officer, just in general, should be valued as a retail property on cost. And we do have two very similar sales of restaurant or cafe type property. So we have extremely similar sales, similar type property that both sold for less. And I think we're going to rely on our market sales on this. You'll notice that on page number 3, the county's value is $556,900. Just to note that our own market sales is actually over what the county value was last year or got reduced to, what have you. It was $448,900 the prior year. We're at $478,348, given our sales. The subject property, you'll notice on page 4, was built in 1974, 2,262 square feet on less than a half acre of land. It actually looks to be two parcels that are connected in a sense to the parking lot for the property and the building. Page number 5 will give you that aerial, and page 6 for the subject property. There's some front view pictures of the subject property or side views and inside of the pretty basic cafe. It might have a newer effective age, but it's a pretty standard basic property, I should say, and that's being nice. There's not really not much to it. On page 11, the thing to notice is the following, which is you have a sale number 1, which is a newer property that sold retail restaurant-type property sold for $236.83. That's where it says $/SF per square foot. The subject is on for $246 rounded a square foot. So even though this first sale sold for $237 rounded a square foot, it's built in 1994 and is superior as such. So I think we took off about 10%, which isn't much for age, but that's also because the subject has a newer effective year than 1974. But 10% is fair given that the sale 1 was built in 1994. Sale 2 was built in 1964, and that property has actually increased 5% for age because it's older than the subject, but it sold for $193 per square foot. Now, these properties are very similar, and they're restaurant properties. The map of those are on page 12, and then starting on page 13, you'll notice that sale 1 is a retail restaurant, similar to the subject, but superior, built in 94. And sale 2 is also a retail restaurant building, such as the subject, but older and adjusted for such. So in general, these are very similar comps. There is only one factor for the hearing officer to consider, is that, and I'm sure maybe the appraiser would bring this up. Now, supposedly, properties have been increasing in value over time, at least somewhat. Our two sales are from 5 of 22 and 3 of 22. So all I can do is ask the hearing officer to consider these, even though they're after the value date, since they're so similar type of properties to the subject. That's all I can do, and hope they consider it. But that completes our presentation.
Okay.
Okay. Is this Ben's again?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
All right. First off, regarding this property, I would like to point out that there was the owner had requested a BLA adjustment, adjusting it. So Mr. Tannenbaum did have the correct lot size down as 0.38 acres. However, the location map or the parcel map on page 5 and 6 were the older parcel map showing the excess land attributed there. On page 10 of his report, it definitely shows the nice remodel that was done regarding the property when it transitioned from a pizza restaurant into this cafe. So first thing regarding my sale comp grid that you guys have, I'd like to point out that the subject was purchased June 21st, 2018 for $830,000. At the time of that purchase, it had the lot size total 0.53 of an acre. It is now 0.38 of an acre. So we currently have it assessed at $246.19 of square foot. The purchase price reflected a price per square foot of $366.93 a square foot. There was also some challenge in locating similar type properties as the subject. Sale 2 we have was similar to, it's the same comp as Mr. Tannenbaum's sale 1. It was a previous restaurant, and that sold, it was large. It was just over 8,000 square feet in size, but it ended up selling for $233.88 a square foot. Our comparable 3 is located in overall, let's see here. This one is located on the corner of Northeast Andreessen and 4th Plain. And it was a similar looking structure, similar size. Well, it's smaller, but the similar lot size at 0.36 of an acre. Also similar in year built. And that sold for $688.27 a square foot. It does have superior exposure. And our final comparable was a smaller lot at 0.29 of an acre, which similar in square footage, and that sold for $613.84 a square foot. We have it assessed, you know, we have it assessed at $556,900 for the 2022 year. We overall are asking the board to sustain that value. You can see on our page 2, we have a location map showing where the subject and comp 1 are located, and our other 3 comps. And then pages 3 and 4 are the excise tax showing the sale of the subject in 2018.
You mentioned at the first something about the owner asked for a BLA adjustment.
Correct.
What is that?
A boundary line adjustment. So, previously there were 2 separate parcels and the excess land. And once the purchase was made, they went ahead and reconfigured the lot size.
Okay, thank you.
What happened to the remaining land?
It went to Pro Caliber Motorsports.
Got it. Okay. Wayne? Any rebuttal?
Oh, sorry. Yes, sorry. I don't think there was, let me see here. I don't know, the sale, I don't know how it's relevant if the land size is much less percentage-wise now. I think the county took that into account, obviously, and lowered the overall value given that. But as far as the information, I don't know what else to present, that I think we have more two similar type of properties that sold for less per square foot, and they're similar restaurant properties, and that's our evidence. So that's all we have.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
I'm fine.
I like to point out one quick thing here on Mr. Tannenbaum's sale 2 of pump sale 2. It is a it was previously a restaurant and a bar, but it was totally run down and had to have pretty much a total remodel, and it's located off Hazeldale Avenue, which is a less desirable location. Highway 99. Well, it's in Hazeldale off Highway 99, which is less desirable of a location than where our subject's location is at.
Well, then I would like to make another statement in two and say comp one, which you both have, sold for less. And if they're saying the difference is size, then they're admitting that size plays a huge difference in buildings and land as far as adjustments. So can't have your cake and eat it too.
Well, regarding that, though, that property has been vacant for over 10 years before it sold.
Okay, well, I don't know the story with it, but it seems fine to me. It's built in 94.
So you think Fourth Plain Boulevard is far superior to Hazeldale?
Yeah, Highway 99.
Have you been out to Fourth Plain Boulevard in Hazeldale?
It depends on the time of day and the section, but in regards to overall exposure, I would put Fourth Plain above Highway 99.
Is that the old Star restaurant?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, it's one person's opinion. I don't have any other comments.
I don't have any questions or comments.
Yeah, it's really the hearing officer's opinion that matters on location, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Got it.
All right, Dan, am I good with that one? Oh, sorry, am I good with that one?
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 12th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 186 for property ID 158144000. The property is owned by ProCaliber Real Property LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Mary Howells and Ben Ransonet present as the representatives for the assessor's office, and Wayne Tannenbaum present as the representative for the appellant. Everyone has been sworn in for the day, so we're good to go.
Great. Tell us about this one, Wayne.
All right. It's actually a bank branch in Vancouver, Washington, located at 10705 Northeast 4th Plain Boulevard. We have a cover picture of the bank, and then on page one, the current value of the county is $1,132,000. Instead of saying the current value, the value as of 1/1/22 value date was $1,132,000. We have a cost basis, but again, this is more of a retail property, and I think costs would normally be secondary, so I'm going to briefly go over our evidence and let the hearing officer decide what they think is the most appropriate way to value a bank-type property. Just so you know, on page number 8, there are cost approach. We have a year bill 1966, effective 1978. We use Marshall and Swift to determine the value of the bank, local multiplier, depreciation, et cetera, for a value of improvements of $473,127. We also have we have the Marshall and Swift pages. We also have land sales to support lower land values starting on page 14. And those land sales are given on page 15 in the full CoStar printout of these commercial land sales. On page 16 and beyond, that did sell for less than the subject property. So based on a lower improvement in land value and an overall cost basis, we have a lower value for the subject property, and that concludes our presentation.
Okay.
Can you tell me what those properties are or were?
What this property is?
B1.
The comps?
Yeah, hit your comps. Tell me what those properties were.
Well, these are just land sales. I don't have any improved sales.
These are just land sales, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have improved sales. I wish we did.
Okay. So you're going cost basis on the building and land sales, correct?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right, Ben?
All right. Regarding this, this is a bank building, and it is approximately 5151 square feet above grade, so 5,151 square feet above grade with an additional 1209 square feet of partially finished basement to total 6360 square feet. Vern Funk Insurance Office Company, they occupy 1,794 square feet of the above grade office area. And Umpqua Bank occupies the west side of the building, which is 3,357 square feet of above grade with 1,209 square feet of basement. The basement has broken out, the 1209 is broken out according to our records as 771 square feet of minimally finished storage and 438 square feet of finished basement, which includes some restrooms and a break room. The total acreage on the parcel is 0.85 acres. And a sale took place on this property, was an older sale, but I just like to note it, on December 14, 2016, for $2,490,000. Or $198.64 a square foot. I would like to point out that the sale price is still substantially higher than the 2022 tax assessed value of $1,132,000. Regarding this property, we went ahead, if you look on page 3, this gives a brief location and some neighborhood boundaries. So, this property is located on Northeast 4th Plain Boulevard. It is on the south side of Northeast 4th Plain, approximately 900 feet north of SR 500 and 3,000 feet east of Highway 205. And it is about 275 feet west of Northeast Gurr Road. The traffic counts in 2018 for this portion of Northeast 4th Plain Boulevard average about 17,517 vehicles a day. On page 4, we have a parcel map showing an aerial of the property. Pages, let's see, 5 through, boy, there's a lot of them, 5 through 12. Go ahead and show examples of the interior and exterior finishes on both the bank side as well as the office side of the property. Then when we moving on, let's go on to page 19. We provided our land sales for the property, so the subject is currently being assessed at $14.30 a square foot. We provided four land sales with a range of $14.81 a square foot up to $28.93 a square foot. Acreage size, we have a range. We are 0.85 of an acre, and we have a range of 0.093 of an acre up to 1.97 of an acre. So real quickly, just to run through the land sales, comparable number one is located about 2 miles east of the subject with similar frontage and exposure to Mill Plain. It is inferior with respect to the access. Yes, sir.
Fourth Plain.
Okay, okay. It is inferior with respect to exposure, shape, zoning, and utility. It is our most recent sale at the $28.93 a foot. Sale number two is about 1.7 miles west of the subject. And this sale is inferior with respect to exposure and low traffic counts compared to the subject property. It's similar in size at 0.93 of an acre. But, you know, and it has similar zoning and utility. And this parcel sold for $14.81 a foot. Sale number three was located 2.2 miles east of the subject with the exposure and frontage of similar to the subject on Northeast Fourth Plain. It's larger in shape at the 1.83 acres, and it has similar exposure, access, and utility. And the final sale is located, again, 2 miles east of the subject with similar frontage and exposure. And it is also superior in size, but it is inferior in regards to access and shape. And that comparable sold for $22.26 a foot. So our four sales support the valuation of the subject property land, which reflects $14.30 a foot. We have a land location map on page 22. Moving on to our cost approach, if you go ahead and look at page 25, this building had a variety of descriptions. So we have, for the Umpqua Bank portion of the structure, we have the bank costs, basement storage cost, finish basement cost, the windroof, as well as the asphalt.
What page did you say that was on? I thought you said 22. But
I'm sorry, page 25.
25, okay.
And then regarding the Vern Funk insurance portion of the structure, we just have the two categories, which is office and asphalt. So as you can see, when we toss these out, we take our base unit square footage. For example, the bank square footage at the top of the page, base unit price of 208. The building does not have the sprinklers as a refinement. So our base plus refinement is 208. And then we go ahead and we have it year built 1966. Effective year built is 2000. We have an expected life of 40 years, remaining economic life of 0.63. And that building structure for the bank is a Class D. So we take the 208 and we times it by our remaining economic life, times our perimeter, times our wall height multiplier, times the current cost multiplier and the local cost multiplier, times the square footage of the building, and we get our cost per square foot. So running through all of that, for the Umpqua Bank portion, our cost approach reflected a value of $542,237. Our office portion of the structure reflected a value of $195,694. when you take our value, if you add those two together, you get an in total improvement value on page 26 of 737,931 with our indicated land value of 529,430 gives us the 1,267,400 rounded. So from that standpoint, we have that information. In regarding this property, both of those tenants have been long-term tenants. And in 2017, the owners provided us with a profit and loss statement showing all of their breakdowns of their income. That is referenced on page 28. On page 29, we just have some market activity, page 29. And then on page 32, we do have our lease comparable data. So per the lease comparable data far supports, it supports actually a higher value than what the property is currently assessed at. And those numbers were received by from the appellant at the year end of 2017. So in regards to the Vern Funk insurance, we have their rent at $1,485 a foot. And the Umpqua Bank, including the basement area, we have it at $2,162. We also broke out our lease office, our office lease comparables and our prior bank lease comparables. And you can see that those prices per square foot fall into the ranges of those listed on page 32. On page 33, we have a summary of the lease comparables. So I'm just going to quickly summarize this here. So with our office lease comparables, we have a range from $1,140 a square foot to $1,609 a square foot on a modified gross basis, which brackets are $1,380 a square foot utilized in the income approach on this analysis. Regarding the bank, we have a lease range of $1,260 a square foot to $3,545 a square foot per year, primarily on triple net lease basis, thus bracketing the above grade lease rate of $24 a square foot. And then just to note, lease numbers 9, 10, and 11 all front Northeast 4th Plain Boulevard like the subject and are located 0.2 to 2.1 miles east of the subject. Those three comparables range from $1,260 a square foot for their leases to $21 a square foot.
So are you using the cost approach as your final value, or are you using the income approach? Because your petition said $1,132,000.
We are using
the taxpayer's petition said that. But are you, which value are you using as your final value?
We are using the income approach to value on this property.
Okay. So it's $1,132,000. Okay.
Yeah, that's how investors, in my opinion, would look at this property.
Okay. Thank you.
On page 34, we have office lease comparable photos. 34 and 35. On page 36, we have our location maps showing the office and lease location maps. And then on page 39, we are showing our income approach for the property. And I would first like to point out that the PGI on our income approach is actually about $12,000 less than the 2017 numbers that we attained from the appellant. So, yes, so our potential gross that we used is actually less than what the appellants are receiving as far as income. And you can see we have a vacancy and loss at 5%, which is derived from our market and supported. Our expense ratio as well is 10%. And at the we have a cap rate of 7.5 plus the tax rate. So the overall rate is about, well, the tax rate's 1.08. So we're looking at about, you know, just over 8% on that. And that equates to $1,132,000 on our income approach. So, you know, the least comparable data supports our 2022 assessor's analysis and valuation. The analysis reflects a rate of $1,380 per square foot per year, and for the Vern Funk unit, and $24 per square foot a year for the above grade of the Umpqua Bank office, $8.40 a square foot for the finished basement area, and $6 a square foot for the unfinished basement area. So it's also noted
that income, does that income approach include the land value?
Yes, it does. It's also noted that the Clark County Assessor's Office has not received any updated profit and loss statements from the property owners or agents since the receipt of this one in 2017.
Just for reference purposes, this is at 10705 Northeast 4th Lane. How does that compare to the property at 10703 Northeast 4th Lane?
They are right next door to each other.
You got one valued at $14 a square foot and one valued at $10 a square foot.
Well, the $10 a square foot parcel is definitely larger than the subject's as far as, and it has some rearage value as well.
Has a what?
It has some value reduction for the rearage on it. The $10 one a square foot. So our income approach conclusion includes at $1,132,000. On page 42, we went ahead and also did a market approach for the property. And I can, you know, we have the comps listed out there with the square feet.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can there be not only a time limit, but we only supply the cost. And I'm pretty sure that the board most likely will, if they have an income approach, I don't see the board doing anything other than a no change, but I could be wrong. I just don't know what we're keep going over extensively on this one. I don't get it.
I think we've got enough information.
What did you say?
I think we have enough information.
Okay. Well, it's the following is the market approach. You can go ahead and see how that turned out. So in summary, our market approach conclusion came out at $2,512,200. And so we are basically asking the board to sustain the 2022 tax value based on the income approach at $1,132,000.
Okay.
Mr. Tannenbaum, any rebuttal?
No, just to say that I don't know anything about the sale or why they value it less or that situation. Maybe there was more involved. I think the sale of the subject property was a while back and irrelevant, but that's all we have.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, no questions for me.
No questions here.
Close that hearing.